hang our resentment on, something that we don't have to give up because, after all, it was really, really, they done me wrong. And it might be the case that you were challenged and something wrong might have been done for you. But I'm asking you tonight, and I'm challenging you as well as myself, to alchemize that in a way that works for your highest and best good. I've said that there are three things that I think that we live by, concepts that we live by that I think are important. One is to forgive yourself and others. That's one of them. The next one is use everything for your upliftment, advancement, and growth. Everything that comes your way. And don't hurt yourself and don't hurt others. And I thought, when I first learned that, I thought, well, that's being a little flip and trite, until I looked at the gospel and I saw where Christ Jesus talked about the most important things that we could know and learn were the first two of the commandments. Love the Lord your God with heart, all your mind, soul, body, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And on this hangs everything. He got it down to two. I had three. Not too bad. Maybe one of mine's unnecessary. I don't know, but those three that I mentioned to you seem to be the way it works best in my life and the lives of the people that hopefully I've touched for good. So tonight, when I'm speaking to you about releasing those things that are old, please understand I'm not talking about the memories that are wonderful. It's great to go back in sentiment and nostalgia and relive things that we loved. In this time of year, particularly apropos for those of us who had grandparents, and I did, and loving grandparents who made Christmas wonderful, who gave the memories of a lifetime, whether it was those wonderful odors coming out of the kitchen, or whether it was my grandmother's particular perfume, or whether it was the fact that I remember that Christmas tree that she had, that even though it was artificial, it was beautiful. It was white with gold balls, and it was something I loved about being near it. And as I get older, I miss it because it seems to go farther and farther and farther away. But also, it's as close as a thought because I can bring it up and I can remember it. And when I do, I feel so wonderful and it feels so good that I can charge my present with those feelings. And this is, I think, the secret of what I want to talk to you about tonight in 2020 Vision. Instead of looking outward for a moment, let's look inward. Sometimes that can be dangerous because people that do that a whole lot can suffer. But I ask you to look inward to those things that you've properly loved and those memories and those wonderful times that you have felt alive. And what I'd like you to do is to be able to take that feeling that you have, that vision that you're looking backwards, so to speak, inside you, take it and apply it to what's going on in your life right now. In other words, see it through the lens, see your what you're looking at through the lens of right now and the love and the wonder that you experienced before. For example, somebody might say to you, you did this and this, and I didn't like it, and it hurt. It may have been during a new year. And you may have remembered a feeling that you're constricting and pulling back. But when you have that memory and you place the love in it and the memory of it and the sentiment of it right now, you do alchemize it. You change it to something that's for your good. And after all, that's what Jesus taught. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about the past. He spent time talking about a new life. A new way to walk, new health, newness. And that's what January the 1st, 2020 is about. It's what January the 1st, 1948 was about. It's what January the 1st, 2076 will be about. Newness. We're here for a breathtakingly brief time. And we properly want to get all the life we can out of living. We want to know that we've lived by the highest and best concepts we have. And if a lot of time goes by before we make a decision in favor of ourselves, it tends to pile up. So when you look backward, maybe you see a mountain or mounds of things that you wish you had handled at the time. Because just like in our house, when we don't clean it, it seems to get worse. and things pile up and it just gets worse. It is that way with us. And the divine current flows through us consistently and always. It's brand new. It's what beats our heart and breathes us and sustains us. And it is the very power of life itself to renew and reproduce what we think. So no matter the situation you find yourself in tonight, and when you look back with those wonderful memories, and I'm asking you to hold them just for a moment off to the side, no matter what happens when you look back, you've got emotion attached to this. There's something that either is irritating or wonderful or whatever, but I'm asking you to take your love, who you are, and surround that beginning right now, and a practice or an intention to do that every day for the next year for at least 5 or 10 minutes. Add it to your meditative routine if you have one. If you're seeing a professional for whatever reason and you're meditating or you're going through things that you're talking about in a therapeutic situation, bring that to what you're doing. What I'm talking about is taking this new life and landscaping it in, because we know we can't forget what happened for good. That just doesn't happen. But we can change the way we look at it. AA calls it a new set of glasses. They speak, and I think very well, about the need to let go, release, let go and let God, one day at a time. Easy does it. These are things that the spiritual practices that we engage in here mirror, because that spirituality, that kind of thinking is healthy. We know it's life-giving and affirming to do that. My grandfather was a surgeon and an internal medicine doctor. And one of the things that I remember hearing when I was young was that when there was a person who had, and the big name for this back then was neurasthenia, which is a fancy way of saying my nerves have exhausted me, or in some cases I had a nervous breakdown. And what he would say, and what I found out he said, is you need to get out of yourself. You need to think about something different. You need to get involved in something that helps the community or helps somebody else, and go with that. And I thought, that's interesting. I've heard him say, and it was told me that he said over and over again, get out of yourself. Well, what's that but a basic way of what we're doing? Now, he was a doctor, and he gave advice vis-a-vis his training, the things that he knew in the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems that were very clinical. I speak a little more romantically. I'd prefer to say those things that ring your bells in a bad way, you need to get away from. You need to look at them differently. When you say, or I say inside, I can't take it anymore, I've learned to ask, who is the I that's saying I can't take it? What's the observer? What's back of all these things that we want to release? All these things that we like to see burn up tonight. That observer, that I, to me, is pure presence and spirit. It is the truth that Christ Jesus spoke when he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And if you seek it first, everything else that you want will be added to you. In other words, first things first. And what is the kingdom of God and his righteousness? What does that mean? Because we hear it, especially from the mouths of ministers, but I don't know that it's ever extrapolated into what it really means to do that. Well, I think seeking first the kingdom means to let go of the things that would encumber you from reaching the loving state that he talked about. So we've already talked about letting go. But when you let go, it's human to want to pick something up. And if you want to pick something up, why don't you pick up the best image and the best idea you have of yourself? That's seeking the kingdom, because Jesus restored the people that came to him through having them see themselves in a different way. Have you noticed, if you've read the Christian Bible, that it's very, very rare to find out what happened after somebody was healed in his marvelous presence? Where the woman who was caught in the act of adultery went when she was about to be stoned And our Lord challenged those that were there to throw stones, that if they were without sin, cast them. We know that it happened, but we don't know where they went. And I like to think that Spirit inspired the writers to say they were present with themselves from here on out. They had the touch of the Master's hand. And you have the Master's hand inside you tonight. We just celebrated the birth of this Spirit last week. And inside you, whether it's now or summertime, you have the same access to that presence. You have the ability to literally make a brand new start. No matter your age, no matter man or woman, no matter what you've done, what you wish you'd done, what happened to you, all these things can be turned to your good. So that's what seeking the kingdom of heaven begins to mean to me in the first place. Go a little deeper besides releasing and getting a new view of yourself. The second thing would be to forgive yourself ahead of time this year. We all are in the experience called being human. We're all going to do things and have things occur in us and through us that we wish maybe didn't happen. Live in a state of forgiveness for yourself. It's far easier to do it for others when you do that. If you're condemning yourself, if you're pointing a finger at yourself, stop and realize that the experience that you had was something you had to have. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. And it came to pass not to stay, and you can go through it and grow through it. So, you see, this newness, this kingdom is about, to me, always now and the future. Those things that expand us and help us grow. Theology that points a finger at people and makes them feel less than a child of God has always bothered me. Because those folks are asking those that need help to see themselves as broken, in need of something that a reticent, recalcitrant God refuses to give unless you do a certain thing in a certain way. The love, the expansive love that is God's, that is ours, that is in us, that is literally who you are, doesn't keep a record of grievances. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 and you'll find that love is patient, kind. It doesn't keep records of angers and upsets. It is an abundant, wonderful, marvelous part of living. And when we do that, we think, well, gee, will I just be a pushover? Am I just going to be robotic? I mean, if, for example, if I take up a new spiritual discipline and it tells me that I must see only love because that's what I am, and I must see my brother as acting versus fear versus faith, fear and love, am I going to, what does that look like? And I don't want to be weak, and I don't want to be, let it happen, because in that you're going to be empowered. The non-resistant spirit is very powerful. The resistant spirit can break against the waves of reality. The big door that swings on little hinges is this: your love incarnate, every bit as much as the baby that we celebrate at this time of year. And he sought to give you power. I am come, he said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In his presence was joy, and people felt that. I want to feel that each one of you has a presence of joy inside you, that if it's not there now, you can leave tonight by wrapping those wonderful memories and those great things that happened by a way of sort of osmosis, by letting it sink in over a period of time. Hold the vision of what you want to be tenaciously. Don't let it go. Keep it before you. If you need an image board, make it. Find those things in magazines, newspapers, periodicals that support your vision and keep it in front of you every day. These are reminders, and after you do this, you may become more adept at it and not need that. There's a place you can go inside quickly. And at other times, you're going to say, I'm a little tired, I'm feeling a little weak, I need this help. Whatever that may be, embrace it. It's new life. So the kingdom of heaven, besides love and forgiveness and the hope of future attainment, that's what we all have in common. The hope that life will be better tomorrow or 10 seconds from now than it is now. We know that good exists. We know it inside. Otherwise, we wouldn't be reaching to reproduce it and replicate it. We want to have the feeling of happiness a week from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. That's the presence of goodness inside us saying, I'm here, I'm accessible, and I'm ready to help you craft your future. So if I tell you now to take your eyes and turn them outward, and you've been inside and you've loved those memories and you've accessed some good things that you want to sort of lay up for the year, then you're more apt to see them in the person that challenges you, the one that honks the horn at you when you can't do anything about it, the one that is your biggest challenge. When you forgive them, you're forgiving yourself. And when you forgive yourself, you're forgiving them. It's a circuit. It's something that I like to draw the infinity circle with. It goes like this. It comes to me, over to them. And it's a wonderful circumlocution of energy that uplifts and heals. If I tell you to magnify the things that hurt, if I tell you that it's something that you should properly be concerned about right now, I'm not telling you the truth. I want you to realize that those things that were less than your good or you felt were less than your good were necessary, and they teach you a new way of dealing with yourself and other people if you allow it. These are concepts we live by, and they're very important. Life and happiness truly is an inside job, and the more that we accept that responsibility, the more life will express. When you write tonight on the papers of the things that you'd like to see go up in flames in your life, also give yourself the love. Give yourself the respect and the understanding of someone who went through it and is here to talk about it and write about it. In other words, you still exist. You did it. And though it may not have been very much fun, you made it. And that's a very, very important thing to anchor to your future. You've come through every challenge that you've ever been presented because you're here right now. And so you can make a decision in your favor right now. And the vision that you see yourself with is the one that you will see others with. So I call you to a higher vision because first you feel it inside, and then that's what you have to give. There are going to be challenges out there. I think that one of the weaknesses in metaphysics is we say everything's rainbow and unicorns. When you meditate and you affirm and you write it down, those are all important things. But we live in a world of challenges. We live in a world that asks us to come up higher. We live with a spirit that's sort of restless. We want new challenges, but we don't say so. We say, get doing one thing too long, say it's boring. I wish there was a challenge. It'll come, and you may not like it, but it's there for your growth. Take it and use it. Use everything that comes your way. I can't emphasize that too much. I want to see empowered, loving people, not scared people, not guilty ones, not angry ones, not those lugging around their hurts, but those who stand in the integrity of their own being and say, I have a right to exist for God's sake, for my sake, with a God inside me. And that's living. That, to me, is walking the high road that Christ Jesus spoke about. And I don't want to be remiss with this idea of 2020 vision about the kingdom before I let you go tonight. There's one other thing that I think is very important. It's been said that self-esteem simply is doing good things and remembering you've done them. If you want to, you can get a journal at night and write things down that you did that day to help you remember who you are. And as you go through the months, the days and the months, you'll have a whole journal full of things that you can look back on and say, I did that, because life can be so daily and it can push it out of us. And I'm here to remind you that when you think life is so daily, that's still a blessed moment, every bit as much as this is. That's, to me, a very important concept. So let me leave you with this. Whatever you do, whatever path you want to follow, remember this. God is a good God, always. Not on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 7 to 9. When somebody says, the grace of the Lord is upon you because I said so, the grace of the Lord is upon you because you're here. And you have the right to pull that out of you and lean on that, as it says, not to your own understanding, but to the understanding of the one who loves you completely, walks with you, and if you knew who walked beside you, you could never be afraid again. That's a quote from A Course in Miracles. A beautiful, beautiful thought system that I happen to love very much. It properly talks about love and fear. Choose in favor of love. Choose in favor of you. That's the little thing I wanted to leave you with. Season it with a little love. I'll close this by telling you a little story that meant something to me, and I didn't know if I could get through it, but I think I can this time of year. My grandmother had this way of making noodles with some kind of tomato and bacon and onion powder that I've never had since she passed away, and nobody knows the recipe. Some here might know it. I don't know, but I've never been able to replicate it. The feeling when I had that was so wonderful. I said to her, what do you put in this? What is it that I'm missing? It doesn't look like much. It's just like macaroni and a few bits of meat, but the noodles were translucent. Look at me. I'm waxing poetic about food, but that's true. I mean, it was something I love so much. And she said to me, honey, what I really do is I love you so much, I put my love into it. I thought, wow. And at that age, I didn't appreciate it like I do now. I wish she was here to do that again. And I wish I hadn't wasted all that time on macaroni and canned tomatoes trying to do it myself, because it was a mess. I can do a lot of things, but not cook so well. Anyway, take those wonderful, magnificent things that you know are part of your life and your time and the things you've gone through, and hold tight to them. And remember that feeling, because as Neville said, a very gifted science of mind teacher said, feeling is the secret. What you feel, you can heal. And what you feel, you can realize if you make the decision in favor of yourself. God bless each and every one of you. I wish for you an abundant and blessed 2020. And I'd like for you right now to join me in a meditation and prayer. And if you need something to write on, it will be provided for you. There are clipboards in the back. And if you'd like that, we'll make sure you have them. Now if you join me in meditation. And the way we'll do this, I think, would be, I'd like tonight if you would take a moment to center yourself where you are, being aware of where you are with your feet on the floor. Maybe your hands in your lap, and you take a deep breath, and you feel the cares and concerns of this time, of what you're going through. Just feel it flow out of you. A wonderful, wonderful source of energy flows through you from the top of your head to the tip of your toes and through your arms. Through your whole body. It's working right now, whether you're aware of it or not. I want you to hold the highest vision of yourself for 2020 and this wonderful light of God that's inside you. That you see yourself as you want to be. You see yourself whole, complete, empowered, and that you're blessed to be a blessing. So we know this spirit that we're invoking right now during this time of calm, peacefulness, comes through us and starts to heal us in every place we need it. Speak to the area in your life, physically or emotionally, where you need health, where you need greater good. Love the hurt part of yourself. Love yourself for the challenges you've endured and for the fact that you did your best at the time, because if you'd known better, you'd have done better. So you happily forgive yourself. We'll take a few moments to let you embody this and realize this, and myself as well. In a very sacred spot of ourselves, we know love is the truth, and it is who we are. It is the substance and base of our being. We happily extend it to ourselves. We forgive ourselves, and we know we are blessed to be a blessing. We give thanks in this sacred moment that we have the ability to take those challenges, those issues, those things that have come and stuck with us in not a way that was for our highest good, write them down and see them consumed by the fire of God's love. We give thanks for this presence, this power, and this ability to seek new life every moment. And so it is. Now comes a time where we write our letters. And this is, if you don't know much about the, excuse me, I'm jumped the burning bowl. This is where we write down what we would like to see let go. Released, things that we would properly like to throw in the trash if we could, things we think we can't get rid of because we just had them too long, the things like I mentioned, those things that we may even protect in our past because it gives us a sense of an identity, whatever it may be, write it down now. There's a fire here, and I'm going to ask you that when you're finished with writing down what you need, to write down what you need to give up, let go, and release, that you drop them right here, and they'll burn, and we'll have a prayer about that. So take the time you need right now. God is with you and guiding you and loving you through this process.